Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Hello and welcome back to a Game 2 edition of the Warriors All 82 Podcast Conference Finals. 2-0 Warriors, although there was a point in the first half. I was thinking, man, we're going to be podcasting post-game, and I'm told, Tim, we might be here, and it's going to be 1-1. This was a game Dallas needed to have because they made 21 threes, and if Dallas makes 21 threes, they can't lose that game. I don't know which of you two wants to start.
Well, they did lose that game, and that's
that's a problem.
Yeah, that's a big problem. They made 21 threes. Luka had 42, hugely efficient night. 13 of 15 from the free throw line.
Brunson had 31.
Did he? Yeah. I didn't even notice that. Yeah. Jeez.
That was my key. My key guy to the series is Jalen Brunson. If he gets hot, then the Warriors are in some trouble. He gets 31, and the Warriors still win. It was a game that was set up to extend the series deep. Dallas played well, I thought, defended well for a long time, and the Warriors still win this game. That is got to be not fun thinking for the Mavs. Remember we were saying, like, Jason Kidd maybe took game one to kind of evaluate and think it through and set the pieces together for game two. And it kind of felt like that for a while. I don't know exactly what the adjustments were, a few tweaks here and there in the matchups. But let's say he did do that, and it all set up, and they're up 14 at halftime, and everything's going well, and Luka's playing well, and you know they got everything else going, and then they still lose. It's got to hit them pretty hard.
Yeah, I think the
hit Slater pretty hard.
Right? Yeah, right. You know, I thought their game, like, they were even more relentless, like the guard-to-guard screens. How many times did Reggie Bullock just, like, flips, yeah. They would just try to flip it, they didn't get it, they go back and screen again. They, like, re-screen.
That screwed up the Warriors. I mean, that did open up a lot of shots for Dallas, and they were hitting him early. And some of it, as Kirk seemed to imply, like, some of them, like, you're just not going to hit that many. Like, even if they're open, even if you get yourself patterned into them, you're not going to hit 30.
It's not even that they're not going to hit 30. If you're going to just feed Reggie Bullock, go ahead. I mean, that's just not a winning formula. Like, he's a good player.
All I mean, like you mentioned, Luka had 42.
But that was the play, though, right? The play was if Steph don't get over there in time, you know, Steph is hedging and then getting back. If he don't Steph's get there in time, you just live with Reggie taking that shot and not Luka taking that shot. But I do think the difference is, and I don't know if it was a tweak. I didn't get a chance to ask Steve or anybody, but Dallas took 18 threes the second half. They've taken 18 threes in a quarter.
19 in the first quarter of the whole series.
15 in the first quarter tonight. They only took 18 threes. And to me, that's the key. Stay home on the shooters. Make Luka drive. Like, Luka was driving today. He was driving a lot. Jalen was driving. If you do it that way, Bullock is out of the series and Dorian Finney-Smith is out of the series.
Yeah, they were also just more connected in the second half. There was one of the plays I highlighted in what I wrote post-game. It's like middle of the second quarter, Dallas just keeps raining threes in, and, you know, the Warriors are trying to switch up defenses. You know how Mike Brown will run to half court, two fists in the air. It's like they're going to zone. So he's doing that, Kerr's doing that. Draymond's on the right block guarding nobody because that's his spot in the zone. He's two hands up trying to tell people, hey, you know, but meanwhile, Klay's playing man. Wiggins is out guarding Doncic at half court. Klay's guarding a Bullock, you know, pick and pop, and Draymond is in no man's land because he's trying to play a zone, and they just flip it over to Brunson. Brunson steps into a wide open three, nobody around. And it just spoke to, like, there was mix-ups and coverages. And, you know, I thought Jason Kidd had an interesting quote. I think it was pregame. He was talking about how impressed he was with the Warriors in game one. He's like, one of the things he said he was impressed by was they can change defenses without calling timeout.
I noticed that.
That's not easy to do in the NBA, you know, and I think that led to some, because they weren't as just like locked in, I thought, in the first half. There was just too many mix-ups. You don't know what coverage you're in. Wait, are we hedging this possession? And that led to a lot of the open looks. Whereas the second half, it looked more like game one. Like, they knew every possession what the defensive scheme was. And even if Dallas got a three off, it was hand in the face. And that to me was the big key, where suddenly 15 of whatever became 2 of 11 in the third quarter, and Jason Kidd said it. Jason Kidd, to me, just reading or hearing his quotes and sound bites, it's like he's almost, I think, kind of disgusted by their style at times. He was like, sometimes you die by the three, you know. It was like, you killing your own strategy here. He's definitely not like Daryl Morey, even though he's playing Morey ball. No.
You know, and I think a big part of it is on the other end, they know they can get whatever they want. 62 points in the paint. Jordan Poole, Steph Curry, even Klay Thompson with two driving dunks. They're just going in. They had one more block tonight. I think Kleber had a block.
They actually ended up with like five blocks, but like there was not – they're not rim protected.
You don't know. It's like – so – but they did have one, though, tonight. The Kleber blocked.
I think it was Wiggins. Yeah. That was actually a nice block.
That was a nice block. Yeah, I was shocked by it. But they know they can get what they want on the other end. And what they want is in the paint. They know they can get there. And I really do think they just feel like these dudes can't make enough threes to offset how efficiently we're going to get buckets on the other end. I mean, Looney got 21. Looney was finishing. He had all these looks. Moses Moody finished. Like, everybody's getting layups. They're getting to the rim. They put in Davis Bertans for like a minute. It's like, man, get out of here. Brock Kleber back in. It's like, you can't.
Davis Bertans like, yo, Damian Lee not going to play this half.
can't do it. Jordan Poole was just like, yo, whoever you put out here, I'm getting to the rim on him. And I don't think they have an answer for that. So, essentially, Dallas just, they have to make a lot of threes. Maybe more than 21.
Yeah. And Luka's going to have to score 40 every game they're competitive
He's
in.
He's so damn good.
Yeah, I mean, and he might, but like he really has to, and that's a ton of pressure on him.
Be 50, because Jalen ain't getting 30 again every night.
45, yeah. Whatever.
40
yeah.
from him and 30 from Brunson, and then they still need a 20 from somewhere else.
It's gonna get weird in Dallas one of these nights. They're gonna run away with one.
Cleaver's gonna actually hit some shots because like he's not hitting anything. Reggie Bullock's gonna hit some shots. Dinwiddie's gonna hit, like these guys have not been hitting shots, but. I think this has got
Finney hit any shots?
Finney hit a few in the first half.
He has been quieter than I expected this series. He's not, to me, he's not like much of a, like, he obviously is a good defender, but he hasn't, I don't think, brought defensive force like I thought he would. And then he's pretty quiet offensively.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have a playmaker. Like, that's what they're, so they got two playmakers, Brunson and Luca and Dinwiddie, a little bit. Yeah, Dinwiddie.
You're ready to give him the pool contract.
Pretty good. I want to clarify that one. At the time he got the contract, I said it incorrectly. I wasn't saying he's as valuable or more valuable than him right now. I was saying at the time he got the contract, he was worth a lot, and he's still worth some money. And Game 7 was pretty good, by the way, fellas.
30 and a closeout of the best team in basketball.
But I think Dallas is in some trouble, because even let's say they win game three, I think we all kind of feel that way, but the Warriors have won, as we know, win on the road. They can win one on the road. They have in both the Denver and the Memphis series. They can certainly win in Dallas, come back here 3-1, and is Dallas going to have what it takes to win three in a row? We know they came back on Phoenix when they were down 2-0, not looking great. But this does not feel the same to me. This does not, I mean.
This isn't Phoenix. Yep. Yep. That's a big part of it. This team is just way different.
I think Dallas probably learned that tonight. You have that game in that series against Phoenix, you're Phoenix out.
Game, yeah. Like, you're winning that game.
You hit 15 first half threes against Phoenix, like, the second half is mop-up duty.
I mean, Steve Kerr was basically, like, flexing. I mean, he hadn't brought Steph in that late in the fourth quarter all postseason.
I thought you were going to say with the Moses Moody busting him out.
Yeah, I mean, that is kind of – I mean, I think they definitely wanted Moses Moody to play, but he looks bad. Moses
– those are this, I should have written this. So, like, they thought about – they were going to play him in game six against Memphis. Like, they've been thinking, like, he must be looking good in practice. He's hitting shots in garbage time. Like, they're leaning more and more to liking Moody out there. Are we assuming he's now in the rotation for a while?
So Kerr referenced it, but his best moment of the season, sequence of the season, was in Dallas, and it was when they blitzed Steph, and there was, you know, he closed with Moody over Poole because Moody weirdly can kind of play this, like, screen patient, like, you know, pop out of the screen after Steph gets double, catch it, and either make a three if he needs to or drive to the rim for, like, smart layups. In Dallas, he threw an alley-oop to Looney. Tonight, he, like, you know, you look at his stat line. He played 10 minutes. He basically had zero stats except for that one layup. But to me, they want – what he did tonight was what – in their mind, they thought Damian Lee would do, right? Be a veteran, be smart, you know. If Damian Lee plays decent in the first half, he's playing in the second half. Problem is Damian Lee came out, two missed threes, double technical tangle-up with Davis Bertans.
Frantic.
Yeah. And then he gets mad at Davis Bertans, so he fouls him before an inbound to give him a free throw. And then he tries to go block a Davis Bertans shot, and Bertans pumps, goes layup. And to me, it was like, that's the end of Damian Lee. And although that opened the door.
Were you sure of it, though? Were you sure that was the end of Damian Lee? I was like,
I was definitely looking at the bench between the third and fourth quarter.
Still might play him. I don't know. But
to be honest, Moses Moody plays a very Damian Lee type game.
He's bigger.
But,
that's a Kirk. Yeah. He's bigger. Like, you know, you do these switches and he ends up on Luka. You're not going, okay, that's terrible. Like, he's big enough to be able to kind of cross over something, you know, that 6'6" Andre Iguodala thing. And I think they like that too. I gotta imagine he's gonna get the first turn in the second quarter in game three. I mean, that's all you can guarantee him at this point
is the first turn of game three to start the second quarter. But I would say he did enough tonight. He'll get that. What'd you think of just the Moody decision and his play?
Well, I thought it was smart. Bottom line is they can't play seven dudes. They got to play more guys. And against Dallas, you can. Like, this is a series you can play dudes. Davis Bertans is not killing you. Maxi Kleber is not killing you. Dwight Powell is not killing you. They brought in Josh Green because they need bodies too.
You didn't like the Frank Ntilikina, man?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Was it like, please shoot the three?
The only guy on the team who they were like, yeah, nah, you can take one. Yeah, please actually take that shot. I do feel like they need to get more people in the series. I was surprised since it was home. We got no Kuminga. I do feel like the rim pressure he could put on, I just want to see him. If Clay is getting dunks down the middle, it feels like Kuminga is like, that's made for him.
I just, the reason I believe they're not playing Kuminga is because of what I was talking about earlier, the complicated way that they're having to defend this team, where they are frantically like, all right, we're going zone. Oh, wait, never mind, switch to man. All right, hedge this, double that. And it's like Kuminga, they would have to like basically call a timeout to be like, okay, remember what we're going to do on this. And it's just, to me, with Moody, I feel like they can start going zone or whatever, and he'll just be like, got it.
Kuminga, though? Like, also, oh, by the way, now we're in zone, by the way.
But that's the problem is that's what happens during the regular season, but suddenly they're 16 on the clock and Luka's already driven past you while you're trying to explain.
The answer to that is put him at the top. The dude at the top don't have to do that much.
Well, you say that Dallas will pick, like, Jason Kidd's pretty relentless on, like, if he thinks there's a weak link out there or something he can pick on, he will just do it every single possession. And I just think with Kuminga, whatever defensive scheme you're in, and again, they don't want to just sit in zone for five straight possessions. They want to randomly drop a zone and then pull right out of the zone. With Kuminga, I just think they'd be worried. Like, even if you're like, hey, hound Luka, they'd be like, get him off the ball.
But Wiggins ain't doing none of that, though. Like, Wiggins is at the top on everyone, and when the defense changes, his assignment stays the same every time. The guy at the top of the zone.
They're switching it a little bit.
No, they're not switching Wiggins. That's him doing the screen, but Wiggins' assignment doesn't change. It stay tied to Luka, and if you get picked off, you get picked off.
A little softer zone sometimes. I couldn't quite figure out exactly what they were doing, but he wasn't tied to Luka. Oh, that's when Luka ended up on Looney a couple times.
That's
just
what
because,
I'm saying, yeah. But if they're getting the guy on Luka off, then he's no longer a problem. He's off of Luka. So that's what I'm saying. The guy at the top of a zone don't have to worry about the machinations behind him. He just got to focus on the top of the zone. To me, that's where I would put Kuminga in at. Put him at the top of the zone.
But what if two possessions into Kuminga being out there, you're like, all right, we want to switch back to a man, you know?
Well, of course, that's what you think he can do anyway. That's what they like about him.
Would he pick it up?
Would he be playing zone and they're playing?
Well, and also when it's like, yeah, you think he can kind of guard Luka, but what if you start doing screen action and it's a Reggie Bullock pick and pop and Kuminga does, you know? Let's be honest.
I'm just saying, like, if I understand what you're saying, I'm saying the easy solution to that is to put him. This is what they do for Clay. Clay's not handling all this great. He's not like, put him on the ball. And it solves the problems, right?
Let's be honest.
They got Moody in the game. They're not going to put Moody and Kamingi in the game. But
they don't trust Kamingi on defense. That's just the reality.
Clearly, but my thing is they just need to play bodies, right? They need to play minutes. They're going 70. Like, at some point, you know, let's just say Dallas wins 2 at home and now it's 2-2. You're coming back. You're looking at a 7-game series. Draymond's in foul trouble. Otto Porter and Looney is dead tired out there. Who else you got? At some point, you got to – that's why I thought the Moody decision was good, because at some point, you got to start getting this dude comfortable. And then if you win this series, you can't go up against Boston or Miami playing 7 dudes. Like, at some point, you got to start getting these guys in the game. And to me, that's why it was a great decision to put Moody in.
And truthfully, like, Kuminga had his chance in Memphis series, and, like, he just didn't really play that well, to be honest. But
I also think Memphis was just a better team.
Memphis better team. And by the way, I mean, yeah, he did not play well. He did not help things. But the Warriors as a whole started every game terribly. So he got dragged into that. Yeah, he was in there, and they got better when he came out. But the whole team stunk early in those first quarters. So he gets hit for it. That's fine. But extending the rotation is not a terrible thing. And when Damian Lee is playing this bad, there's just the psychic angst of the Warrior fan base when they're watching this, too. Like, you could just feel like, what are they doing? Would they take him out, please? And Steve Kerr took him out.
You know, the guy I get minutes to? I throw some JTA out there.
I'm going to say Bielitsa. You're not going to say Bielitsa? You don't want to say Bielitsa?
I thought some, like, he wouldn't have a problem switching back and forth and all that. Yeah, but I don't know. They're turning the ball over a lot against a team that doesn't turn people over. So that's the weird part.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I've been trying to eat in more often lately, so I signed up for Home Chef. I've had a few packages come in, and being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over all the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, even for someone like me who isn't making it onto Top Chef anytime soon. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what you're making ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals plus free shipping on your first box and free dessert for life at homechef.com/plus. That's homechef.com/plus for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. Homechef.com/plus. Must be an active subscriber to receive the free dessert.
We should probably get into Looney before we get into Draymond tonight. Or, I mean, you could wrap them both together, because I think Looney saved Draymond tonight, to be honest. But you mentioned the turnovers. Draymond had 3 right away, which to me, like, set the tone for what type of night he was about to have. He, I think, was just frustrated with his play, so then he really starts getting into it with the refs. And, you know, me and Tim were talking to, you know, some people a little bit ago, but I was, like, I thought Kane Fitzgerald showed a lot of discipline not tossing Draymond. I felt like he kept, you know, seeing if Kane Fitzgerald would. And we know Kane Fitzgerald's reputation. And maybe Kane Fitzgerald's saying, like, I can't, don't want to do it tonight. But
we already been through
it. He was at 4 fouls. He already had the one technical. He stood up on Reggie Bullock, remember? And it was like, oh, did he just get tossed for this? And, I thought they were lenient with him to try to basically keep Draymond in the game. But then he fouled himself out of the game. He had the weird foul in the corner for his 5th on Finney
Super
Smith.
He
didn't complain about it because he couldn't have. It was in a foul. And then 94 feet from the hoop off a rebound, he just crashes into Luka. They're in the bonus. He gives Luka 2 free throws and bolts himself out of the game. And, you know, he might even admit it himself that these are big, good momentum things for the Warriors because it gets Looney in the game. Draymond's minus 19 in a win. He was minus 19 tonight. Looney was better, and we can get to Looney, but Looney saved Draymond from he would have faced a lot of criticism tonight if they lost.
This is one of those rare nights where it helped them that Draymond was out of the game, right? It helped them. When he get the fifth foul, he got to sit a while. That helped him. When he fouls out, that helped him. Not just defensively, too, offensively. It's weird. He's just in that mode where he's like, all right, we're about to run our offense. We're going to do the Princeton thing, and I'm going to make all the passes. And that's just not really what they need from him. The ball needs to be in Steph Curry's hands and Jordan Poole's hands. And when he's in the game, it's not. I saw him, like, after the game. He still in his uniform. He's talking with JaVale McGee, who was here. He's got a shake in his hand. He's going to the owner's club. He was just like, yeah, I played terrible. I was terrible tonight. Like, he knew he was bad. And that's a really good sign for the Warriors. There was a time when Draymond played like that, you were getting boat raced out of here.
I mean, and that's not like, to me, that time isn't necessarily over. Man. Like, if Draymond plays that bad in game three, they're probably getting boat raced. That's why if you're Dallas, you're like, holy, how did we lose this game?
They did win game one in Memphis when Draymond got ejected. So for a tire out. That all respect to Draymond. He is so important to this team. It's interesting they've got other ways to win, though. They've got these other things that they've got. Jordan Poole is a huge one of them. Interestingly, played great in game one against Memphis and played great in this game with Draymond. They're not similar players in any way. Their roles are not similar. But sometimes, like, you just need other players to rise up when some of your top guys are not. Klay was not good in the first half, right? Terrible in the first half in a lot of ways. He was solid in the second half. Like, in the old days, they would lose this game, no question, when Draymond and Klay are, minus 26 and 20, minus 19, whatever they were. But they have other players. This team is different. I don't think any of us thinks it's better than those other teams. But this team is different, and it's a little – got options. Like, they got Moses Moody to play out there. They've got Kuminga they could put out there. They could put Bielitz out there. They could put JT. They have these extra little pieces that have been playing all year and are not playing now. Like, they just pop in there, and that's what makes this an interesting, like, just I'm sure, like, in the coaches' meetings, they've got all these possibilities they can put up on the board that's a little different than before, and maybe it makes them almost as good. You know, maybe it makes them a championship team.
The second playmaker is hugely pivotal. It's like everything, because not only are those non-Steph minutes now winning, but you put those two on the court together, they just become tough to guard. And like, the teams in the East probably got the options to guard them, but not Dallas doesn't have them. And that's the thing. When Draymond's running the ball, you set a screen, and you get Draymond onto Kleber, like, he's not taking advantage of that matchup. If that's Jordan Poole with the ball in his hands, like, that's a layup. And I do think that's a big reason. They got to figure out a way for Draymond to be part of the offense without running the point so much. Like, they need the ball in the hands of Steph Curry, Jordan Poole.
Yeah, and look, like, Draymond – there's a reason they've tried to separate Draymond and Looney, because it's very difficult in 2022 to have two non-shooters on the floor.
Non-shooters, you see that big three?
He hit three.
I should say, Draymond, and almost hit the second three. That was huge.
Rolled around.
To the point where, you know, you're like, still probably shouldn't go and foul out. You know, as bad as he'd been to that point, like, you still want him in the game late. But, you know, again, and I want to get back to Looney because, you know, at least the media room seemed to think Looney was the story of the night.
That's where I realized, okay, we're on the national stage now. We're like, Looney with the racks. Let's go with the blind side Looney story here. The racks.
So tell me about your hip surgeries. Come on.
What was it like all those days where you were on the bench?
By the way, Looney with the TNT set visit. That's like, first career ever.
No,
yeah.
Poole went to the studio, but he got the walk-off.
Yeah,
which is funny. So... It's just he was out there without Draymond, and he could just kind of play in the dunker spot with shooters around, and he had 21 points.
No, listen, and this goes, you know, we were talking about this. People were like, you got to get TK to talk about Looney, because in the past, Looney has never finished like this in his Warriors career.
Oh, my God, no.
He's never finished like this. Yeah. Like, it's not – these aren't all bunnies. Like, he's getting some bunnies. It's like the drop-offs and the dunk. But there are some – 7 feet from the basket, and I gotta go get the bucket. And he's got these little stretches. I'm like, Where the hell is this coming from? Looney is finishing. This is crazy.
Is that Dejan getting him this? Yeah, I mean, that's what he's working on. I see them working on it before the game.
So. That, you know what he's, and they both, Kerr and Looney credited Dejan Milojevic, who is.
They call him
Deke. It was his rebounding, like reading angles, and like that's what they're saying. They're like, he's suddenly turned like an elite rebounder, and this isn't just like suddenly in the playoffs. You look at his numbers in the regular season; he was like a top level rebounder in the NBA, and he's learning angles and how to like spin off guys. But yeah, I know he's becoming more crafty down there, and I think that is Dejan because that's who Dejan was as a player. He was like an undersized big that like played down low and scored. So yeah, I mean you are.
I mean, as many times as he gets the ball on a pick and roll where there's 5 feet of space in front of him and somebody closing late, like he was not converting on them for many, many years and for the beginning of this season, and he's doing it in the playoffs now, and those are huge buckets because we know the way they play Steph and we know the way they play Jordan, and this is money points. These are money points, money rebounds. I don't know if he's going to get money as a free agent because this has happened before where he's played well in the playoffs and he gets no offers.
That would be hilarious for Steve Kerr. Like, he's always overlooked. I'm like, you mean by your front office?
Who drafted James Wiseman and who drafted Damian Jones.
Let him hit the free agent market.
Many times. Did not pick up his fourth year option. Or
you know who they drafted ahead of him at one point? Jordan Bell.
Jordan Bell, yeah.
I mean, they've tried to kick Kevon Looney to the curb 100 times. Now, what I will say is the coaching staff has always been a believer in him.
Yeah. And who knew this? I mean, this is very hard. Even from, like, his great series, very good series, I should say, against Houston in 2018, his first real playoff moments, like, you didn't see this coming from that. You just saw a guy who could really switch out in James Harden, and that's really good, and he doesn't screw up on the offense. This is a different kind of player. They've got, I mean, we're going through all this, Poole and Looney, and like, by the way, Andrew Wiggins is a really good playoff player. Like, this is just a side note to all this. Like, hey, we got this Andrew Wiggins guy who's a good playoff player. Like, this is a lot of interesting developments happening in over the last few rounds. I'm writing about Poole and this next generation of Warriors, and I put Looney in there because he's not old. And I went, you know what? I didn't even put Andrew Wiggins in here, and that's a pretty significant piece of this. Supposed, you know, the players other than Steph, Draymond, and Clay. It is Steph, Draymond, and Clay, but there's other players, and it's not just a few of them. It's like three or four of these guys, and that's, you know, carrying them through a lot of these games.
Looney finished top 10 in rebound rate. What do you think? What do you think he was? What'd you put Looney at this year?
You just said he's top 10, right?
I mean, what percentage of the rebounds does he grab? Just take a guess.
Tell me who's – Steven Adams is number one, right?
No, Rudy Gobert, 25% of the rebounds he grabs,
25%. I was going to say 22.
I bet he's like 17, 18.
18, 8. 18, yeah. Right ahead of Giannis. Right behind Joel Embiid. I didn't realize he was that high.
Yeah.
Loosened him up to 15. He's about 13 for his career.
What? I flipped on because I think I'm probably going to write about this before Sunday's game, just kind of like the history of Looney as the switch defender and this whole, like, you know, they had this saying they used to say every time guards would bring him out, and you know how guards do that thing where they get him on and then they start doing the backup dribble like, hoo-hoo, can't wait to go at this guy. And then they would yell like, wrong guy, like you're going at the wrong guy from the bench. But I was watching 2018 Looney playoff tech. He is so skinny in it, and moving, even though he's skinny, he's like almost even moving slower than he currently is. It's crazy.
No, he was moving slower.
Yeah, it's crazy. He is like the way he's transformed himself. He's like big. Yeah. He's big now.
Big in the shoulders. Yeah. Doesn't get bounced around. Yeah, doesn't get bounced around. By the way, on that rebound numbers, I wonder, like, I bet you Draymond's percentages have gone down pretty significantly. So maybe some of those rebounds that were going to Draymond are going to Looney. That's what it feels like to me. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't feel like Draymond's had those 15 rebound games very often in the last year or so. And played, you know, these games are way down too. So that might be part of Looney's rebounds going up. But the rebounds are there and he's getting them.
They were a top, like, six, top eight type rebounding team this year. It's Porter, it's Draymond, but it's a lot of Looney. You know, that's been huge.
Career high Draymond 14-7 in 2015-16, and he's gone down ever since. Yeah. 11.8 was his low. But this year he went back up 13.8. He was 12.1. This year he got 13.
They rebounded really well all season. And honestly, you know, you thought it might be a weakness coming into the playoffs. They out-rebound Memphis in the second round, which was crazy. And they've done it, you know, it's a bled into this round. Like, they're just kind of a good rebounding team, even though they don't have a traditional center. What did you write about, Marcus?
I wrote about Steph. Night-night. Steph is obsessed with bedtimes, apparently. He's been doing this bedtime thing the whole time. But another big fourth quarter from Curry. You know, Luka was going off. They needed somebody to match him. And, like, this is, I think it's his fifth game with at least 10 points. Highest scorer in fourth quarter. He's got the most fourth quarter points of any player in the playoffs. He's been really clutch. He hasn't played great, but he's had great fourth quarters.
What percentage of his points are in the fourth quarter? Know, right? It's a high percentage.
Been playing great, but he's just been delivering every single time. He's been a really good closer. But this was closing against Luka, right? It was like Luka was getting hot. He had back-to-back threes. It's a six-point game. And it started to feel like, here you go. You get this dude within the bucket, and he's going to do the ISO thing and where he's going. And Steph just kind of nixed all that. But for some reason, he just – a perfect shot. I don't know if y'all saw it. He's like, you could see him saying night, night. And then
it was like Hollywood movie type shot where it's like almost the cameras, I guess, kind of behind the basket, and he releases it and they slow mo in on his face. And you can clearly hear him go night, or it's just, I see him go night, night. And then it splashes in and he does like, it's like the slow mo. You start looking down the court. There's a crowd behind him is erupting. It was, if you haven't seen it online, which by the way, you probably have, it was a good shot.
You see it in my story because I definitely put the link to it in there. But it's a big, big, big fourth quarter. And to me, that's the problem. That he came into the game with a 7-point lead. Like, you can't do that when Steph is closing.
Well, you can't have him come out with a two, and the opponent has a 2-point lead, yeah. And then he comes back in, and it's a 7-point deficit. And then Steph's going to close that out with a 6-minute rest or whatever.
By the way, that has become a very interesting pocket of the series because, you know, we can say that, like, hey, you can't allow that, but Luka has the same sub pattern. Yeah. So in the first half, flip that. You can't allow Dallas to go 21-9 with Luka on the bench, and that's what the Warriors did. And those were the Damian Lee minutes, and obviously those were replaced. So that has become an interesting little, like, sub-war within this bigger war, which is, like, Luka and Steph go to the bench at the same time, and both teams can't get crushed in those minutes. And tonight,
I was wondering if, I mean, I know Dallas does it this way, and this is the Warriors that could Dallas alter that to try to get Luka out there for the non-Steph minutes.
He came out earlier. Yeah.
He came in earlier. Yeah, Steph.
To really get, you know, try to turn that into 15-6 instead of 7-6. And you'd have to take him out some other time, probably end of the first quarter, but I can see that happening. Just really try to, like, so you're battling to a stymie, you know, at your best if you don't have Luka out there. And if Damian Lee's not out there.
I was saying, they went. This is getting bad.
Yeah, right. No.
They went 21-9.
It just so happened. Damian Lee played game one and they won by 30.
Yeah. It's putting too much focus on Damian Lee. But
he scored 30. No, he didn't.
I was like,
what game was that? But I don't know that that's what they want to do. It's just like you're kind of giving up the non-Steph minutes, and I would think they'd want to take massive advantage of the non-Steph minutes.
Damian Lee had a pretty decent Memphis series, by the way, in those little short burst minutes. It's why he had a rotation spot heading into the series. So I don't want to, like, it's not like every Damian Lee minute this playoffs has been like that.
And
tonight
Steve
was
might
bad.
Go back to him. Like, yes. This is very possible. Maybe not the next game, but he likes him. He likes him for specific reasons, drives fans crazy, but he likes him, and he has not been a disaster. It was not good tonight.
Anything else from this game? I mean,
I wrote just about Poole, and he's been a 16-game player. It's a cliche, but I went for it anyway. He made it easier, cleaner, right? But he is proving to them that he is a main player in major games. It's hugely important. And if you think about it, they play Moody, and they've also got Wiseman and Kuminga. Like, they got these guys that two of them didn't play tonight, but, like, this, we can mock them for the two timeline thing or whatever, but they're doing this with this whole assemblage of guys who also are pretty good. And if they're halfway like Poole, or can be developed like Poole, can play like Moody did tonight, Like, this is impressive. Like, this is, these are, this is talent, a talent level that they've been planning for, and Poole is the beginning. He's the beacon of it. He's like, this is the start of what could be coming, and when Steph and Draymond and Clay need more than they need right now, and tonight they need a lot of it.
Yeah, usually.
They got these other guys. They got these other guys who are really talented. They may not all be great, but they are really talented.
Well, the big thing about the other guys you're mentioning is they are on the very bottom of their upward slope of their careers, whereas typically teams that were like this, the Warriors, this like veteran like core trying to hang on to the dynasty era, their others are the Otto Porters of the world, downside of their career. The fact that they have all these guys who are going upward, and then suddenly you're looking at Kevon Looney, who's 26, you're like, are you on a, like, are you becoming a stud center? I'm confused. Andrew Wiggins, like, oh, I guess All-Star starter this year, so I shouldn't say anything. But
all these old guys, Steph, Draymond, Clay, and Kevon Looney. Wait a minute, Kevon Looney's 26 years old, but Wiggins is 25. Like, you know,
don't forget GP2.
GP2. I mean, it's kind of hard to put Porter and GP2 in there because they're free agents, and I don't know if they could re-sign them. Maybe, but like, you got to count Wiggins, you know, and Moody and Poole, and like you start going through that. And I'll tell you two things. They got the money to pay all these guys, and if they're winning, they will pay all these guys. There's just no – those people. Porter and GP2 might be tough to resign. But all those people, if they keep winning in the playoffs, they will have the money to pay all these guys, and they will. There's just – there's no doubt in my mind they will. If they want to – if Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole want to sign long-term contracts with the Warriors, they're signing long-term contracts with the Warriors, and they'll go into the tax as deep as you could possibly do it because they have the money to do it.
All right. Well, I think Dallas probably has a Sunday answer. We will talk to you from Dallas on Sunday.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.